Hello and welcome back to the Irish Tennis Updates podcast. My name is Adam, your host. This episode is my latest update episode with Mark Finnegan. We chat about the latest results of all the Irish tennis players in the US college tennis system. We also touch on a few other updates from Irish tennis, including DLTC Winter League, Davis Cup, Billie Jean King Cup, and some other topics, including staff changes in Tennis Ireland, which includes most notably a new CEO. I hope you enjoy this update. Here we go. Here's Mark.
All right, Mark, it's been a while since we've caught up. How are things with you?
Oh, absolutely fantastic, Adam. Yeah, it has been a while. And looking forward to chatting about all of the team competitions and everything going on with Irish tennis at the moment.
Good stuff. Absolutely. Let's get into it. I know there's been a lot obviously going on in college tennis in the States. And maybe they're a good ways through their season. But before we chat about that, let's talk about a few things here in Ireland. Firstly, we'll touch on the Winter League, DLTC Winter League. The finals are this weekend, the 26th. The finals are held in Castleknock and Lansdowne this year. I was looking through the list for the final schedule, and there's a huge variety of clubs in finals, which is really good. Malahide has the most finals. They're in three different classes finals, but a huge variety of clubs making finals, which is great to see. And just obviously very best of luck to everyone playing, and well done to everyone playing for their clubs.
Well, you know, Alex Watt has done a fantastic job there at Malahide. He's been there for a short period of time. I think a little under 6 months now, maybe 7 months. And you can already see there's been a massive impact there on the league, on the leagues with Malahide. You know, a lot of players coming down as well from Northern Ireland, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the past, I think Malahide's always been one of the strongest teams on the men's and the female side. So great to see them back and being more competitive.
Absolutely, 100%. So we'll move on. Just have a quick chat about the Davis Cup and the Billie Jean King Cup as well. So first on the Davis Cup, the guys had their tie back in February. They played against Peru. It was in the World Group 1 playoffs, which is the highest level that the Davis Cup team has competed in for several years. So it was really great to see them up playing at that level. Unfortunately, they didn't get the win against Peru. And the team that was playing was Simon Carr, Oscar Ohushin, Jack Malloy, and Michael Agui. So both Jack and Michael were making their playing debuts for Ireland. So it's great to see those guys coming through. And then just looking ahead for the next tie, the next tie will be in World Group 2. They are playing El Salvador. Once again, that's away, and that's coming up later in the year in September. So the match away, obviously still haven't had a home tie, which I was, you know, maybe fingers crossed that we'd get a home tie this year, but it wasn't to be this year. But obviously we'll keep an eye out over the next, in a few months' time for that tie. But it was, yeah, a tough match against Peru, but good to see the guys playing at that level this year.
Well, Adam, you know, it's, again, that's the highest level I think we've been in Davis, in Davis Cup, I think they said in 40 years or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, fantastic to be able to be playing at that level. Yes, you're right. I mean, golly, we'd just absolutely love a home tie, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
What a great way to rally people back. We haven't had it since COVID. So, you know, fingers crossed, potentially there's one in the near future. So we can really celebrate Irish tennis. It's a great occasion.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously now that they're playing the level where they're playing the proper home away ties, that's more realistic. And a few years ago when they were playing the groups, that's probably less likely. And maybe just to look on to the Billie Jean King Cup, that's the stage that the ladies are playing at this year. It's the World or the Europe Africa Group 2. So that'll be group matches going into playoffs. That's taking place in Portugal from the 10th to 15th April. So coming up pretty soon. I saw that the team played group 3 last year and got promoted this year based on their ranking. So a step up in quality for the team this year. And actually, I was looking through some of the teams that they'll be playing against. I saw Maria Sakkari, Kanepi, and Kontaveit all playing for their countries, Greece and Estonia. So some high quality opposition. And then the team for the Irish team is going to be Céline Simoniou, Sinead Lowe, and Ruth Kopas, Cara Courtney, and Aisling O'Connor. So well done to everyone picked for the team there. And I can't wait to follow the progress in only about two or three weeks' time. So it'll be a good event.
I mean, what an incredible experience would be if we got a chance to match up against one of those players, you know.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, no, it's gonna be a big step up for the girls in that group and a lot of good quality there. So fingers crossed that they represent the country well, and I know John will have them very well prepared as always.
Absolutely. So yeah, so listen, I think having talked about that, let's move on and have a look at some of the college tennis results in the US. Did you have any updates for us there?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's guess we'll start with the girls. You know, as before, we always seem to start with the Olaida twins, who, crazy enough, are now actually in their junior year. So they're coming to the end of it. Remember, your junior year would be your third year of college in America. Your senior year would be your final year. You get 4 years to be able to compete. So the twins have actually moved nicely up the lineup now. Their team is actually 8-6 overall. Their team has continuously improved each year that they've been there. But now it's great to see Lola playing number two singles and number one doubles. And playing number three singles is Saul. So the girls are now at the top of the lineup, where they actually started more closer to the bottom of the lineup when they first got there. Zara Ryan is currently now a grad student. So, for example, is in the system. Everyone, because of COVID, and this is the final year of it, will get an extra year of eligibility. So she's actually in her fifth year of eligibility, and she's doing a graduate degree. Her team is 7-7 overall. It does not seem like she's actually competed a whole lot, but if she has, it's been more at the bottom of the lineup. So she's coming up in her last month and a half of competing. Shauna Heffernan of Boise State seems to be having one of her very, very productive seasons in singles. Normally, she's been a solid player for us in dubs, as well as in Billie Jean Cup. But she's been playing singles lineup, 3-6 in the lineup. And then in doubles, she's been playing mostly at the two spot. Her record in doubles, as always, is 9-3, is very good and very strong. Team is currently 7-4, and they're moving in a very positive direction. Shauna Casey, still another same situation, where she's, I think, going into her fifth year now, and she is the captain of the team, but she has not been contributing to the lineup at the moment. A nice surprise there has been Breida Brennan. Breida has moved up to the two spot for Wofford, which is fantastic from her. She was playing 5-6 more last year, and she has got a winning record at 7-6, 7-2 in doubles, and the team are an impressive 10-5. So Breida is obviously playing some good tennis and doing some great things. Another girl playing at the top of the lineup and doing some good things, Sarah O'Connor. Their team's coming off a good win over the number 64 ranked team in the country. The team is currently 7-2, and she's actually in the top spot in the singles lineup. So well done, Sarah. Keep up the great work. Cara Courtney, I know she had a really tough time with injuries. You just heard her, you know, being obviously announced to be part of the Davis or the Billie Jean Cup team. So she's playing 3-5 in the lineup. The team is currently 6-5 at the University of San Francisco, and they're always very competitive. Georgia Drummy, again, another girl in doing her graduate degree in her final fifth year. Team is 15-2 at Duke. Always a good record, always one of the top teams in the country. But she's currently actually playing in the middle of the lineup. Then we've got Emily O'Donovan. Emily is playing at Seton Hall in the Northeast. Emily has been consistently in the lineup there at 4-6 in the lineup, 2-3 doubles. Team is currently 5-9, struggling a little bit. However, it's great to see Emily holding down her position in the lineup. Ellie Murphy for App State, one of the two Irish at App State at the moment. Team is 5-5. It seems like the team have made a huge jump up in level this year. You know, Ellie was in the middle of the lineup. Now it looks like she's playing more towards the end of the lineup and has been winning a decent amount. The other person at Appalachian State is Owen Rambovi. She did start off playing, but looks like she has a stress fracture, so she's been out for a little bit while nursing that injury. So fingers crossed that she can recover soon. Kira O'Toole, one of the better records here for Sacred Heart, 7-1 in singles right now at the moment, in the middle of the lineup, and the team is 9-3, so they're having a very, very good year. Olivia Mariarty for Brown, their team is having one of their best, strongest years in a long time. I do not see her too much in the lineup. However, the team is 11-4 and in a very, very difficult Ivy League that the teams are very competitive. So well done. Keena Walsh for the University of South Florida, freshman year, has done a very good job, played a ton of tennis, 16 and 12 in her singles record. She's been all over the lineup, 4, 5, and 6, 2 and 3 doubles. The team is having a really good year this year. They're coming off a couple of really good wins at home, and they're moving in a very positive direction. So that's right now at the moment. There's some of the Division One girls. In some of the Division Two NAI girls, we've got Amber Young. It looks like she had a transfer, and she's now playing at Arkansas Tech. Not playing much in the singles lineup there at Arkansas Tech, but ultimately the team is 5-9 record. Not too sure with Megan Butler. I looked for her, but it does not believe that she's at Arkansas Tech anymore. But just couldn't find if she transferred or she was somewhere else. Tara Stewart is starting her second year, I believe, at Tabor College. Tabor actually is 0-4 right now at the moment. And Tara is playing number one singles, but it looks like the rest of most of their schedule is coming up here in the next couple of months. It's very typical for the NAI to start a little bit later in the spring, since they compete a lot as a team in the fall, which is a little bit different than the Division II or Division I model. And then we've got Emily Connolly, who's in her fourth year at the powerhouse Indian Wesleyan University. The team is 24-4. I think over the years, they don't lose too many matches there at Indiana Wesleyan. She's been consistently playing as number 5 singles and 3 doubles. So it's been nice to see her consistently holding down those positions. Roisin Murphy at Division II Mercyhurst, doing excellent, playing number 2 singles and number 1 doubles for the team. And their team is currently has a record of 3-5. So that's it for on the girls' side.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, no, and I think one thing, you mentioned this earlier, but like having done this a couple of years now, to be able to follow some of the particular players and see as they move up the lineup and get more experience to watch the progress is really cool.
Well, you know, and Adam, something that's been very consistent through not just Irish tennis players, but in general, is a lot of the players that have ended up doing their fifth year because of the COVID year, they seem to be having a bit of a challenging time in that fifth year because, you know, college tennis is a very intense, it's very full on. And, you know, 4 years, most people say, right, after 4 years, they're ready to kind of move on with the next stage. So some of those people who have ended up doing a fifth year, you can kind of maybe see a little bit, they're having a bit of a tough time. And okay. That potentially could be down to maybe just a lot of college tennis over the years. But it is amazing opportunity because, you know, those players in their fifth years are obviously getting access to be able to get a graduate degree instead of just getting an undergraduate degree. So it's very advantageous.
Absolutely. Good stuff. And do you have a few updates on some of the guys playing as well?
Absolutely. Yes. So we start with Thomas Brennan at the top there at Butler. He's consistently always been one of their best players. He's been at the top spot. He's 10-5 on record. And basically, yeah, he got his first call up to the Davis Cup team. I know he wasn't able to make it. However, he was called up. So congratulations to him. And then we've got Sean Keane. Sean Keane did a transfer, and he's at now a Division III school called North Carolina Wesleyan. Excellent level of tennis where Sean has held down the number 2 position in the lineup. He's actually player of the week in their conference 3 weeks in a row, which is pretty impressive. Wow. You know, the idea of where his level of school is, there, a top 10 Division III school, a top 10 Division III school would be very comparable to the level of a Division I school ranked maybe between, you know, around, say, 60 and 100 in the rankings. So the level of Division III tennis is very, very high. Some people think Division III is like the, you know, the Premiership, Championship and League One in soccer, but it's not. It's Division III just means that they operate with a different model on how they deal with scholarship.
Okay.
A lot of these Division III teams can be very, very good because they have excellent facilities, great education, so they attract a lot of the best Americans actually to their rosters. So yeah, it's a little bit of a background there because
that's
had
interesting
too many
to know. Yeah,
Irish athletes. Yeah,
yeah.
Matthew Saunders seems to be doing fantastic. I know he had a tough time previously with injuries, but his record is 9-1 in singles right now. The team are 10-1 at Tiffin University. Mark Griffin, now for the second year in a row at Marion University, has been holding down the top spot. They are an NAIA school. Their team is currently ranked, has a team record of 17-4. He's 10-6 at the top spot. So excellent job from him to be able to be playing at the top spot 2 years in a row. I know I got to see him compete a little bit over the Christmas break. He almost took down Amar in there. I think it was the quarterfinals. Really close match. So he's playing some good tennis. We've got Keane McDonald also playing some fantastic tennis. In the past, we've mentioned Keane a lot about being player of the week. He just wins a lot, to be fair. Keane is currently number six and number two in their singles lineup. The team is 15-4 record. And North Dakota have really just done a really good job of just moving their program forward at a very gradual progression. So he'll be graduating this year. So he'll have an extra year if he wants it, if he wants to do that fifth year. Moritz Stenzer, who you've mentioned a lot, obviously German-Irish, but spent a lot of his Irish tennis career here in Ireland, playing at Rollins College in Orlando, 6-3 singles record, 3-1 doubles record. Team is 12-2. That's the best in a very long time. They play a very competitive schedule. So they're looking like they're going to be entering into the, you know, the top 10, top 15 Division II rankings here. So their team is moving forward very, very well with new leadership. And then we've also got Carl Butler. It's great to see Carl at Gardner Webb, Division I school in North Carolina. You know, in the past, Carl had a tough time breaking into the singles and doubles lineup, but now he is an absolute stud at number three doubles for them. They're having a lot of success. He's winning a lot of doubles matches. Team is 11-5. They did lose a couple of really tight 4-3 matches. However, I believe Carl was actually winning his doubles match. So well done, Carl, to be able to break into that lineup, a very competitive Gardner Webb team. Christian Duffy continues to have his career at Stonehill College. Stonehill is a Division II school, but is moving to Division I next year. So that's great. He's been playing primarily at the number 2 and 3 spots for them. The team is currently 7-11. You know, even though they have a losing record, that's probably a good record compared to comparative years. So they seem to be improving. Philip Lynch, who just did a transfer, now is at Wagner, and I believe he's doing his graduate degree in his fifth year. He's currently playing at that 3 spot. He seems to be a little bit out of the lineup lately. Might be injuries that are causing that. Team is 3-10. Wagner do have some new leadership, a new coach there who's doing some great things. So wouldn't be surprised to see that team can improve over the next couple of years. Neil O'Connor, Coastal Carolina, Division I school in South Carolina, right next to the beach, doing great, playing consistently in the lineup this year, 5-4 in singles right now at the moment with his record, more towards the end of the lineup and is in the doubles lineup. Team is currently 10-6 record, so they have a winning record. They're always in and around that 75 to 100 ranking range in Division I. Great to see Charlie Barry seems to be performing extremely well on the doubles court for Tulane. Tulane, obviously, one of the best academic athletic universities in the country. Team is currently 10-6, coming off some big wins, including Auburn. And Charlie's been playing at that number one doubles position in the lineup. He's played a little bit in singles, but not as much in singles. It seems like to me he's really settled in to being that leader in the doubles. And is having a lot of success at number one position, and they play a really, really tough Division I schedule, one of the toughest Division I schedules in the country. Then we've got Kieran McCarthy at NAIA Holy Cross Notre Dame, playing number two singles versus Division I IUPUI the other day. Almost took a set, lost the second set 7-6. So it's great to see him being very competitive against a Division I school. Yeah. Primarily, it seems like to me they've been playing more in the 4 and 5 position, so they must have had a couple of injuries that day, or they moved them up with the lineup for tactical reasons. You know, most of their schedule is still upcoming. They play majority of their matches in that March, April, May period. So keep an eye out for him. He's obviously accompanied there by Hugh O'Sullivan from Holy Cross at Notre Dame. Both those Irish guys are there, but unfortunately, Hugh is still having to recover from, you know, a really tough leg break that he had right before he left. I know that he's had another operation, and you know, all the best wishes to him that he can recover from this time round from it and get back on the tennis court. So be no deserving guy. He's put as much into his rehab as he possibly can. Yeah. A guy who's done a transfer here, Connor Gannon, was at University of Tennessee, is now at my university I coached at and played at. University of Memphis, so that's close to my heart. He's had a great start to his career there at Memphis. Memphis are a top 25 team at the moment, playing 3 and 4 in the lineup for them, and he's had some big time clinches lately. So I think there's been two matches this year where he's beaten. He's been last match on, and it's come down to him, and he's had a had a, an incredible victory. So well done to you, Connor. Great job. Let's see what we got else here. We've got a couple of the guys that were in high schools, obviously not in college, but Joseph Kalaitis and his brother Ben Kalaitis at Macaulay High School. They're just starting their high school season now. I know he actually played last night. I watched a little bit of him on live video, through PlaySite. Okay. He's doing fantastic. He's the number 2 in the lineup for them. They're the number 1 high school in the country too as well. It's a good level. And then we had Zach Murphy and Dylan Breen. They were both playing for Montverde. They actually played in the national championships for high schools there about 2 weeks ago. And I want to say that they played 1 and 3 in the lineup. Both of them did. And they finished, I think they were 3rd place finishers in that. So that was pretty good for them. Both of them have also signed off their scholarships. Zach's going to Jacksonville State, a Division I school. And so is Dylan. Breen's going to Siena College, which is also a Division I school up in the Northeast. Good to hear from him. We got Joshua Mackey too as well. Joshua at UMSL, who's a freshman. Joshua's been playing 3 and 4 in the lineup for UMSL. The record, I believe, is not quite a winning record, but it's close to being. So Joshua's playing number 1 doubles too as well for them in his first year, which is great too as well. Nathan Slattery for Ryder, in Division I school in the Northeast, just came there in January. So really always a little bit tricky going in January, but he's seemed to have settled in really well. He plays at the number 1 singles and number 1 in doubles in the lineup. So he's getting some great experience playing some really good competition. Watched him the other week there on live stream playing a very, very competitive match against Marquette. Then we also have Alex Donnelly, who's at Lubbock Christian University in Texas, same place as Texas Tech University. Alex is doing fantastic. He's now he's now 100% in the lineup there at the number 3 doubles position, and is nipping at the bud to get in the singles lineup. So Alex has done a fantastic job there in his first year.
Yeah.
Got Arthur O'Sullivan at Georgetown. Arthur seems to be doing a fantastic job there. He seems to be playing like 2 through 4 in the lineup in singles, and then 2 and 3 in the doubles lineup. So he's doing a great job. That team is competitive and getting definitely better each year. And then we've got guys like Sean McCullough, who's at Durham still, and he's doing his graduate degree there. Sean has been in and out of that first team at Durham, and they've been playing a very competitive schedule. They've actually got a Bucks Wednesday today, which is a big day for them in the Bucks League there in England. So that was a lot, but we got through them. So we still have a ton over there playing, competing. Nobody necessarily in the top of the ITA rankings. However, we know how tough it is to get into those rankings, but. Fingers crossed in the coming years, we've got a couple of breakthrough college players coming into that Davis Cup and Billie Jean Cup.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that was just as always great to hear those updates, and we'll have to check in again in a few weeks, maybe towards the end of the season, and see how everything has been going. But just before we go now, there's a couple more updates on other bits. Firstly, I'll just mention some of the players who are playing some pro tournaments at the moment. So Celine Simoniou has had a really good few weeks. She's been qualifying for a few futures events in Turkey and reached one quarter final the other week. So really making a really good start in some futures events for her. Oscar Oshin and Simon Carr also playing some futures recently. Oscar reached a quarter final last week, which was brilliant. Simon is kind of coming back from injury. Also, he played in the qualifying event for Dubai ATP 500, which I know he's done before and good matches there. And now playing Futures again last week. And then finally, there's Carola Bejanaru, who recently won a Futures event in Egypt last month. So she's having a good run of form at the moment and really climbing the rankings. So just it's worth mentioning those players. And also, I'll really quickly mention the ITF World Tennis Masters event, which is going on at the moment in Turkey. So that is age groups over 30s, 35s, and so on, for men and women. And I know that some of the teams are having really good results there. So well done to everyone who's representing Ireland, and best of luck for the rest of the competition out there. So,
well, Adam, a big shout out there too as well. We've been getting some great updates there from on Instagram from Paul Fitzgerald. He's done a fantastic job of being able to give us the insights to that competition. And I know they've had four grueling days, and well done to all of those guys. As an oldie myself, I know it takes a lot of sacrifice to make sure that you can represent your country and be in shape to be able to go over there and compete. So well done to all of those players, because you have to love the game of tennis to be still doing this at their age. And so well done, guys.
No, 100%, 100%. It's great to see those guys competing so well. And a couple of just quick updates on kind of within Tennis Ireland. So firstly, there's recently announced a new CEO. So Kevin Quinn, who was working in Leinster Tennis before this, is I think very soon taking over the CEO position. So well done to him on the role, and very best of luck, and all the best as he takes on the role and gets started.
Well, and look, it was great. John Foley did Trojan work in there, and for the last, it was probably longer than he probably was expecting to be in there. But I had a chance to meet John, and he really was doing what in the best interest of what was for Irish tennis. And it seems like to me he's made a fantastic hire with Kevin Quinn. I mean, it's just, you know, what we need in Irish tennis, obviously being in the commercial and marketing sector, and how successful Leinster Rugby have been at doing that. So I'm hoping that, Kevin will be able to really break into that for Irish tennis, especially for Irish performance tennis, because, there is a serious lack there of funding. So that'd be great to get as much support as we can. And I'm excited to hopefully get to meet him over the summer at some stage after he settles in and everything like that. So best of luck to Kevin and John Foley. Fair play. Thank you so much for all the work that you put in your time here.
Absolutely. Yeah. All the best. Best wishes to John and now to Kevin taking over. Also, Gareth Barry, who I've spoken to on the podcast before. He was working as a performance director in Tennis Ireland. He's left his role. I think just to look back at the last couple of years, I think looking at where we are in terms of a lot of huge number of junior ITF tournaments, which is, as we have talked about, and as we all know, is a massive thing to have. So I think Gareth's done a great job there, and also the World Tennis Number being introduced, or maybe a couple of the kind of big achievements, milestones I've looked at the last couple of years. So a big thanks again to Gareth for his work with Irish tennis.
Well, Gareth, Gareth will leave a legacy behind that. He really emphasized his goal was to get more international competition in Ireland. And I think what we're going to have 6 ITFs this year in under 18s, and I think a further 5 Tennis Europes, or maybe even more. I mean, so you know what, it's Trojan work. That was his number one goal, was to be able to do that. And look, it's so easy to be critical of people and situations, but for me, looking back on his time that he spent with Tennis Ireland, he's made some serious impact with some serious challenges. With he started right as COVID hit.
COVID, so.
And look, I'm looking at this calendar as we speak here with juniors and seniors, and COVID made the calendar very complicated after we got back, and it looks like that calendar has now been sorted out. And look, we're moving more towards a competitive tournament structure that's less focused on ranking points and more on rating systems, which can only be a really good situation for people's development.
100%, 100%. Obviously, looking at those, all the best to everyone taking on new roles, and thanks to people with their time. Mark, any other updates? I think that's most of the things I'd picked out to touch on.
No, I think maybe we didn't touch it maybe as much on the league DLTC as we wanted there. I think one probably thing, standout thing for me, is looks like Carrick Mines are really back on the girls, the female side and the male side. I know you guys, you're not too far from there in Greystones with them, but, they've got Julian Bradley and Mara Elliman playing number one doubles for them. They're in class two. So, I think, again, is something that we take for granted is our league system. It's a very, very, very few countries in the world have a league structure like we do. we're so lucky and we're so appreciative of that, because, you know, it gives us still a chance to be able to play competitive tennis, where some people at our age don't get to play competitive tennis anymore. So really appreciated for the DLTCs, leagues. Also a huge achievement for FITS 2 and FITS 1, making the semi-finals of the men's this year in Winter League. Like, that's something at NACE that we had a big goal to try to be able to attain. And they were able to attain that this year, where their first and second team competed against each other in the semifinals. So that's an incredible achievement. So well done on the leadership there. And then, yeah, just great to see Temple Oak too as well in a final. I know Colin O'Brien has led the charge there over the last couple of years. It wasn't too long ago they were in a Class 2 team, and they're now at the top of the League 1 status. So, so for everyone, no matter if you're Class 1 all the way to Class 7, best of luck in your finals. DLTC Finals Day is done the right way. They do a great job with that. I've always enjoyed Finals Day when I've been lucky to be a part of it. So, best of luck, everyone.
Yeah, I think that's the thing with DLTC. We've said it before, but just the size of the league, the amount of matches, and just at absolutely every single level as well. The clubs playing at every level, it is just brilliant to see, and kind of so good for kind of grassroots of tennis. Like, the huge numbers, participation numbers, playing matches. So I think there's always credit to be given there for these leagues that happen every year. So yeah, it's definitely worth mentioning, and best of luck to everyone playing this weekend. Mark, listen, a big thanks for the updates for the chat today. We must do it again, maybe towards the end of the college tennis season to look back. But appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good one.
Cheers.
Thanks once again to Mark for his time putting these updates together. I hope you enjoyed the update and learned a bit. Very best of luck to everyone playing in the Winter League Finals. Also to the Billie Jean King Cup team in a couple of weeks' time. If you found this episode interesting, please do share it around to anyone else that you think might enjoy it. Until next time, I've been Adam, and goodbye.